The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Again, I'd like to say what a privilege it is to be with you here at Bethlehem. And I just want to say that the testimony that this church has had with the growth and the new building and even new additions this morning, praise the Lord. I just want the church to know that you are an encouragement to the Primitive Baptist Church nationwide. Amen. And I think you need to know that. Because it gives the congregations that are, as Brother Mike had described, struggling, it gives them hope that if you just do what the Lord commanded us to do, He rewards those who are faithful in doing that. And the proof is in the pudding. And I'm thankful that the Lord is blessed in the manner that He has. And I pray that we can have that same testimony all across this nation. be turning to 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want to make a few brief remarks on what Brother Mike had introduced. I try to remind people back home, if you think that this world is just going to be kosher, and if you can be a disciple of Christ and you be totally fine with the world, you need to be reminded of the fact that Jesus lived a perfect life and men killed Him for it.
Right.
Don't ever forget that.
Amen.
Jesus was the sinless Son of God, and they chose Barabbas over the Son of God.
Amen.
Okay? So if you think that you're going to live godly and everything's just going to be rosy, the servant is not greater than his master.
Amen.
And he lived a perfect life, and sinful men killed him for it. And at the end of the day, men left to themselves are always going to choose the Barabbas.
Amen.
But I'm so thankful. I did not know that that meant Son of the Father. I appreciate you bringing that out. So turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9. It's just as we know that we are the Barabbases, I want to show you, hopefully, this afternoon, that you are Mephibosheth. Okay? I know this sermon's probably going on the internet, so if you want to title this, it'd be Mephibosheth, A Story of Grace. A Story of Grace. Now, I know it's already been noted, these are not stories in the sense that they're fables. These are historical accounts.
Right.
But I would say there's no better picture in the Old Testament, at least in my opinion, of the grace and favor that God shows to unworthy sinners than what we find here in King David showing kindness to Mephibosheth. Okay? So in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and in verse 1, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" First thing that we need to make sure that we understand is that even though David had a special kinship and a special friendship with Jonathan, Jonathan's dad, Saul, was his mortal enemy.
Right.
And for the majority of Saul's life, after David was elevated in Israel, he spent trying to kill David. And in spite of that, Jonathan, who, and this is such a testimony to the character of Jonathan, that Jonathan loved David as his own soul, and David did the same with Jonathan. But do you understand that Jonathan was the next one in line to the throne?
Amen.
If there was any ounce of pride, if there was any ounce of self-exaltation, David should be his enemy. If this is the person that could possibly steal my power, steal my influence, steal my authority, he should be a mortal enemy.
Yeah.
But let's look very quickly at 1 Samuel 18. When David and Jonathan make this covenant together, 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1 to 3, "It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I tell you, give me the King James language every day. I love that, the intimacy of that King James language. His soul was knit with David, and Saul took him that day and would let him no more go into his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Now go to chapter 20, and let's start reading in verse 12. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, anytime the third day, skip to verse 14. And thou shalt not only, while I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even requite it at the hands of the enemies of David. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Jonathan had an understanding that David is going to be exalted to the kingship. Don't you understand? That should have been his spot. But yet, in spite of that, he loved David as his own soul. And you want to notice, they made a covenant together. And he said, this covenant's not just going to be between me and you. It's going to be between our posterity. And I want you to understand what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 9. He said, who is left in the house of Saul, which is his enemy, that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Not for the sake of the person. But for Jonathan's sake. And I want you to understand, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the eternal covenant that God made with Jesus Christ. And praise God, we have been shown kindness, not for our sake, okay? Because Mephibosheth, when he understands, look, I don't deserve any of the king's blessings that he is bestowing upon me. By the time this chapter is over, he is going to be treated just like royalty, like the king's son. But why was that bestowed upon him? It wasn't because of Mephibosheth. It was for Jonathan's sake. It was because of David's, the king's fidelity to the covenant with someone else. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Now he's a member of the house of Saul. Again, that should have been his mortal enemy. But David had a covenant with Jonathan that superseded that. And Romans 5:8 tells us it's when we were enemies toward Christ that he bestowed favor on us. When we were in that posture of conflict, that is when the king said, who can I show kindness? Not for their sake, but for my son's sake, for the Son of God's sake. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 9, there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. He has a son, but he's lame on his feet. And let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 4 to find out why this son was lame. 2 Samuel chapter 4. And in verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as he made haste to flee, that he fell, and he became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Why was this descendant of the enemy of the king, why was he lame? It was because of a fall.
Right. Amen.
Does that resonate with anybody? Why? Why was it necessary for the king to be the initiator to be the proactive party in this relationship.
Right.
It was because Mephibosheth was helpless to come to the king on his own. That's why he had to be the initiator. And why was he in that condition? It was because of a fall.
Amen.
It was because of Adam's fall in the garden.
Amen.
Now, where's Mephibosheth at this time? Verse 4, back in 2 Samuel chapter 9. The king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." And Lodabar means a land having no pasture, with no sustenance, no fertile fields, no good irrigation. It sounds a lot like a desert to me. And we don't have to turn here, but listen to this in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8. In verse 9, he introduces this: "The Lord's purse portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." Which we know that Jacob had his name changed to Israel. And in the New Testament, Jacob is emblematic of the entire elect family of God.
That's right.
Now, look at this description of Jacob here. In verse 10 of Deuteronomy 32, "He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness, and he led him about and instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye." Where was Jacob at? He was in Lodabar. He was out there in the desert, in the waste howling wilderness. And the king takes the proactive initiative, because of his covenant with Jonathan, to bring Mephibosheth into the house of the king. So back in 2 Samuel chapter 9 again, verse 5, the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. I'll stop right there for a minute. I want you to think about this from a Mephibosheth perspective. Yes, I'm sure he was aware that his dad, Jonathan, had a covenant with David. But I believe he was also aware of his grandfather's vendetta against David to kill him. And not only that, his uncle, Ishbosheth, for 7.5 years, split the kingdom because he was rebelling against the authority of David. So, yeah, I may have Jonathan in my corner, but I've got two strikes against me. I've got my granddad and I've got my uncle. And I don't see anywhere here in the text where Mephibosheth knew the reason that David sent to get him. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this from his perspective. He's sitting here in Lodabar, lame on his feet, you know, a regular day. Now, all of a sudden, the king's folks show up and knock on the door, and they say, "We're taking you to the king." Well, I think there's a reason the first thing that David said to Mephibosheth was, "Fear not."
Amen.
Today's the day of reckoning. David is finally, now that he's not battling all the rest of these people, he's settling the old debts. You know, kind of like the old, none of y'all have seen The Godfather, but when he goes settling the family debts at the end of the first one, I feel like that's what Mephibosheth felt like. The king's guys start knocking on the door, and we're going to pick you up and we're going to take you to the king. I don't believe that he understood the kindness that was going to be shown to him. I think he thought,
"Amen.
All right, this is it. He's coming to get me. He's coming to settle the old debts of his enemies."
Yeah.
I believe this might be imposing a little bit on the text, but I believe it's very evident that Mephibosheth is a child of God. And if I was in his case, I'd sure enough be praying on that ride back. I mean, when I was going to the king, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm praying, you know, for a positive outcome instead of what I think is probably coming down the pipeline. So keep Mephibosheth's mindset in mind as he actually makes his way into the king's house. And I think that kind of shows the way that he acted when he got there. He came unto David in verse 6, and he fell on his face and did reverence. He worshipped. not worshiped. He gave him the respect of the king that he was due. And he says, "Behold thy servant." Understand, I'm here to serve you. please show mercy on me. And I believe it was very evident, the fear and probably even the terror that he had, because what's the first thing that David said in verse 7? He says, "Fear not." I believe it was very evident all over his face. He was very afraid of what was about to come. But I want you to understand the emotional swing. I mean, could you imagine showing up? There's no telling how long it took him to get. I don't know where Lodabar's at. I didn't look that up. But ever how many days it may have took for him to get there with him under the burden of thinking he's probably going to be executed when he shows up. And then the king says, "Fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he said in verse 8, and he bowed himself, speaking to Mephibosheth, and he said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am?" This is not necessarily in here, but my mental picture of this is this man that was just terrified when he showed up. And again, understand, he's lame on his feet. So he's on the ground, and I just see him weeping at the feet of the king.
Amen.
Because he, just as I hope that you accurately see yourself as that Barabbas, I hope that's not offensive to you.
Amen.
I hope the Spirit gives you the accurate understanding of who you are by nature, because without that, you're never going to praise God in the manner that you should for Him bringing you into the house of the King.
Amen.
Okay? So I hope that you see yourself not just as Barabbas, but as Mephibosheth too.
Amen. Yeah.
You are that lame man in Lodabar. And I missed this point. Verse 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir. And honestly, I think that's my favorite point of this entire point, is he fetched him. Now, how cruel would it be for the king to say, "Listen, I desire for you to come into my house. I desire for you to eat at the king's table. I desire for you to fellowship with me. All you have to do is come." Boy, that's not good news for Mephibosheth, is it? Why? Because he's lame on his feet. Boy, that sounds a lot like a sinner that's dead in trespasses and in sin to me. And what? So therefore, what is the necessity? If he's ever going to get in the king's house, how is he going to get there? The king fetches him.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else about Ziba here. I think that's a strong type of the Holy Spirit. Because who did he send to go get him? It was Ziba the servant. Then after that, he commands him to provide for the continued care of Mephibosheth and his family. And that's the ministry of the New Testament, the ministry of the Holy Spirit here in the New Testament. Not just being the active party in the new birth, fetching God's children. John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And then the 44th verse, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." That's the fetching. That's the king making a decree to his servant and proactively and sovereignly. Because is Mephibosheth going to be able to fight them off? No. No, he's not. That's a beautiful picture of irresistible grace.
Amen.
Why? Because the king takes the proactive response.
Amen.
And not only does he decree it, but he makes sure that he provides for all the logistics. He takes care of the nuts and the bolts of the logistics for the person that he desires to be in his house to get where he wanted him to go. Okay? He fetched him. Now back to verse 8. Mephibosheth, again, I believe that he understood. Listen, I understand that I should be your enemy. I understand that my grandfather tried to kill you. Why should you show favor upon a dead dog like me? The king said unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house, and thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son, may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Then said Ziba, verse 11, unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. This lame enemy of David, to a large degree, who was in Lodabar, has now been fetched into the house of the king. And this is not just a one-time buffet,
right,
that he says, you just come, you eat all you can, and we'll just ship you back off to Lodabar. He said, no. You are now going to eat just like the king's sons. Understand, we've been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the privileges. Now understand, he's the only begotten son. He is the only one of its kind. But we have all of the privileges that the only begotten son has.
Amen.
I'll let that sink in for a minute. I mean, because think about that from Mephibosheth's perspective. Okay, just to give us some type of context. This is a guy who's off by himself, lame on his feet, not able to get around. And then all of a sudden, he has servants at his beck and call. He has all of the rights of a king's son. He has a continual feast in the king's house. And I believe that's why he was so overwhelmed with this favor that the king had showed unto him, because he understood how unworthy he was of it. That's the point, I believe, is he understood how unworthy he was. He understood his condition as that dead dog. Verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son. His name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table. And he was lame. Did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both of his feet. Now, the Lord didn't see fit to heal him of his lameness. But what he did do is give him the privileges of being treated just like the king's sons and eating at the king's table. Now, we have not totally been eradicated of our sinful nature. And I think there's a reason. You know, I've heard it said about ministers and other people too. Don't trust people that don't walk with a limp. And what they mean by that is, look, if you haven't had some difficulty that has caused you to limp, as it were, you know what? You may not take for granted. You may take for granted your ability to walk like you do, if you've got that limp. I said that backward, but I think y'all get the point. The point is that I think there might be a reason why we're continually reminded of our Barabbas and Mephibosheth condition, and that's for us to be so ever grateful.
Thank you.
For bringing us into the king's house. Because I tell you, if there's anything that sheep are prone to do, it's to get lazy and to get cozy and take for granted the blessings of the pasture that we've been given. But I tell you, when you've been down in Lodabar, you know, I know I've heard Brother Tim mention this about Brother Obey and Brother Martin that have come. When you've seen scarceness, when you've seen that struggling, and you come somewhere like here that we take it for granted, and you see all of the excess, that person does not It's not lost on them what the blessings that are actually bestowed on us here in America.
Amen.
But I tell you, when you get used to it, though, we don't view that as a blessing. I mean, we think poverty is being able to go to McDonald's anytime you want, and you know, having a brand new iPhone. That's not poverty. But the people who have seen it, though, and they've seen the other side of it, but they've seen the prosperity. Let me tell you, those are the people that don't take the prosperity for granted. I think there's a reason that we need to be reminded of that limp. We need to be reminded of who we are. But at the same time, please do not miss your opportunity to commune at the King's table. Because you've got a seat reserved for you.
That's right.
Understand, you've got a seat reserved for you, and you're treated in God's kingdom just like the King's sons.
Amen.
Remember, Brother Mike, we're talking after services, and I think the water's still back here. The eunuch said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?"
Right.
We've got the water. There shouldn't be any hindrance now. But if you see yourself in that Barabbas and Mephibosheth condition, praise God that God has already fetched you. Because I tell you, He already has. But there are some blessings at the King's table in the King's house that you need to be partaking of.
Amen.
Okay? And I want to tell you, it's like the song says, come and dine. I mean, there's a buffet up here in the Lord's kingdom.
Amen.
It's just a matter of us actually getting up and partaking of it. And if that fits your case, if you feel to be that Mephibosheth, I would encourage you to come partake of all the blessings that are rightfully yours.
Amen.
Because you have been made one of the King's sons. May God bless you.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.